This is the Championship Clubs Podcast, the show that shines a light on English rugby's second flight. Join us every fortnight and check us out on the socials at Champ Clubs Pod on Instagram and Twitter.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another edition of the Championship Clubs Podcast with me, your host Ross Hancock. Mini pod for you today, looking back at the first few rounds of action and ahead to the next three in the new Premiership Rugby Cup. However, ladies and gentlemen, he's back. Charlie Beckett is now an official member of the team. Charlie, good to have you properly on board. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, thank you, mate. I'm very well. I'm acclimatising back to the British weather after my sunny little jaunt down under. And a real pleasure to be full-time part of the team. And I can't believe after all my ramblings and idiocy last season, you've decided to have me back. I must have been the best of a bad bunch.
Oh, mate, you're absolutely fantastic. And absolutely no bad words said against you since the last time you were on the show, of course, as you've been listening. But any news for us, mate, that might be teed up with us knowing the answer?
Yeah, so I thought I would come back from Oz and have a little bit of time off, a little bit of time away from the game, rest of the body, see what options were in a few months. And hilariously, that lasted a week. I got a phone call and have signed a short-term, just two-month injury cover deal down at Ealing. So I'm currently sat in the box room of one of the player houses at the rugby club. And yeah, I'm currently in my second week training with Ealing and yeah, really enjoying it down here. As I said, I was planning to have a little bit of time off after back-to-back seasons, but it was sort of opportunity when I got the call from Wardy that couldn't really pass up to be involved with the side as professional and as well-run as Ealing. Really, really excited to be down here. As I say, it's only 2 months, so hopefully get a bit of game time. We'll see. They've had a few second-row injuries, so helping out while I can.
There you have it. Pod exclusive. Awesome stuff, mate. We'll get straight into it. And I think there's only one place to start after two rounds. It's got to be Jersey Reds. Wow. Bonus point win away at the Rack against Bath. Statement made.
Yeah, enormous, mate. And I'm sure this will be a constant theme throughout the pod, is us talking about the actual strength of the Premiership sides. But I'm going to say from the outset, I don't think it matters who the players are wearing those Premiership shirts. There is a number of Premiership teams who, in the last 2 weeks, Championship teams have got results against. And for Jersey to go away, I've played for Jersey, I was there. Going away is hard. Like, it is never easy playing away with Jersey because of the flight, there's logistics. For them to go away to Bath, I think they had 8,000 in the Wreck, first game of the season there. And it wasn't just a win, it was a bit of a demolition job, especially that second half. They completely dismantled Bath, especially up front. And it, on one hand, it puts the whole Championship on notice that Jersey are very much back and ready to defend their title. But on a wider note, it really turns some heads in the rugby world. And I think we'll talk about it more later, but you put that with some of Cov and Ealing's results in the last few weeks as well. And I think these first two rounds have been nothing but brilliant for Championship rugby.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. And we'll go back to Jersey later on in the show. And Ealing are 2-2 as well against two Premiership sides as well. But we'll come on to them in a moment. I want to go to Coventry next, actually, and that incredible opening day win for them at Butts Park against Saris. Strong Saris as well. Yeah, what another fantastic, eye-catching result. Nearly backed up with a very credible away draw at Harlequins, having conceded late. So they've gone really well in the first two rounds.
Yeah, enormous. And it doesn't matter, anyone who watches Saris, who's played against Saris, when you play Saracens, it doesn't matter who is in those shirts. You are playing Saracens. They play one way and they expect 5 points from every game. And Cov were, again, it was a back and forth game, but to come away with a 14-point win and Saris taking nothing from the game, it was an incredible result. Shows the strength and quality of Cov this season. But the Butts Park was absolutely bouncing. And then Coventry, and this is a wild statement, will be disappointed that they didn't win at the Stoop. They were 7 points up and Quins were down to 13 at one point. I think looking back at the game, having watched the bits I have, you've got to wonder if Cov had their time again, would they take three to go 10 points up at that point rather than go to the corner where they wanted to put the game to bed again? I think they had the chance to take three, went to the corner and didn't get over the line. Obviously, Quins came back and drew 21 all, but won those results that before the game, if you said Championship Coventry get a draw away at Harlequins, you would have snapped their hand off, I'm sure. But incredibly, looking back at the game, probably disappointed they didn't come away with 4 or maybe even 5 points again.
Yeah, and still in contention, like a few others, to maybe even make the semi-finals of this competition. We'll talk about that later as well. But we did mention earlier Ealing, and you can almost say them going 2-2 against Northampton and Bristol isn't that much of a surprise, such as the strength of their squad and the way they're playing at the moment. But, very impressive still to pick up those two results.
Yeah, mate, that you see the depth of squad and the level of player I'm training with every day here, and it's not a surprise that Ely are getting these results. It is a squad that could compete in the Premiership. I truly believe that, and the way the club's run as well, you see it day to day. But it was a very, very dominant performance against a young Northampton side. They didn't really compete too well, Northampton. It was a very one-sided game. And then I was there in person for the Bristol game, and to go and get a win away at Ashton Gate is not easy. And the thing that was impressive on that day, I thought, was the week before, it was great weather. You saw Ealing's running rugby on the artificial grass at Vallis Way. But you fast forward 7 days, it was hideous conditions. It was chucking it down, blowing a gale. And the game management and physicality of Ealing to go in, again, a good Bristol side. It was 12 all at half-time, then to come away with the dominant win they did, and especially in the second half, didn't concede a single penalty. I think the penalty count for the whole game was 17-6 against Bristol, but in that weather, to not concede a penalty in 40 minutes shows incredible discipline and control. And yeah, I don't think we are surprised that Ealing are 2 from 2, but just another very strong showing for a Championship side. Talking about Championship sides against Premiership outfits, obviously you boys down at Pirates have had Premiership clubs the first 2 weeks. How has that gone, Ross?
Yeah, I think lots of positives. Obviously, two defeats. The Bath game, we took a losing bonus point from. We're pressing late to maybe snatch it. I think Bath probably did just about deserve to win. But, you know, again, you talk about the quality of the Premiership sides. We've spoken more primarily about the Championship sides there. But that's the margins for error are much smaller against those Premiership teams. And the games have turned for us, I would say, on big moments. You know, Bath were attacking. We were attacking the Bath line multi-phase, 4 points behind. They turn it over. They go the length. It's 11 points. You're chasing. You know, who's to say what would have happened if that had gone the other way? Exeter, we led at half-time. Really good first half at Sandy Park. They were a really strong Exeter team. They've really gone for it at defending their Premiership Cup trophy. And we dropped the restart from in the second half, the kickoff, conceded a penalty, yellow card and a try, dropped the missed penalty goal, 5 minute scrum try. You know, those little small moments don't happen, who's to say? But I think the main thing as well for the lads that aren't getting the results is the experiences. You know, playing against the Premiership opposition, travelling to Premiership grounds, you know, playing in front of bigger crowds, you know, and that's part of the bigger discussion about where we want to see this league go, and the teams in it and the, you know, the restructure of the game. So I think we take a lot from it. Obviously, you know, the glamour of the two Premiership ties are done and dusted. We're on to Cambridge, big test against Jersey next week as well, and London Scottish and the remainder of our group to help us prepare for the Championship season. But yeah, I think we can take plenty from it. Another side going quietly about the business, of course, are Donny. 2 from 2, top of their pool. They've not faced Prem opposition yet, but hotly tipped this season, and we can see why now, can't we?
Yeah, Bodes has, after probably a disappointing season last year for Donny, has built a very, very good squad. They've recruited well from the Championship, I think. Like, you look at some of the players they've taken, especially that they took from Amptill, Harry Wilson and Finn Brown in the back row, two of our best players last season. Jack Digby, who on his day is one of the best back rows in the league, was at Ealing last season. Ollie Fox going in there at scrum half as well. So they've got a very, very good side there. And they're always tough to play against, Donny. You know the style of rugby they'll play. Bodes has them coached incredibly well. So two good wins to start. It was, on paper, that win down at Scottish doesn't look particularly great because it was such a close one. But then you hear about the logistics. They arrived, I think, 40 minutes before kickoff because of London traffic, etc. So actually to get a result when you're thrown off that much in preparation shows the mental toughness of the group. So Donny will be a good side this season, I've no doubt at all. And it'd be a different sort of test for us at Ealing this weekend against them.
Bedford have started up north with two tough away fixtures, losing at Sale in round one and narrowly and late, it must be said, at Kingston Park against Newcastle last Friday. Be hoping to bounce back in the coming weeks, but probably a bit like ourselves have taken, you know, enough from the games to build on.
Yeah, and that's the thing is we're sat here slightly disappointed that a few Championship teams haven't beaten Premiership teams. I think that shows the strength of the Championship and what we expect of this league. Like, all of us in here know how good this league is. We know how good the players are. And you're talking about how close you boys were against Bath. You've never seen anyone refresh Twitter as much as me on your Twitter feed, mate, when it was the 80th minute. I knew you were banging the door down. Again, two real tough places to go for Bedford. Two tough teams in Sale and Newcastle. And everyone knows about Bedford. I've said it a lot on this podcast. It's the best money you can spend to go and watch a team play rugby. It's the most fun rugby you watch play. But actually, to compete with Sale and Newcastle, you can't just be these Jouer throw the ball around. You've got to have some grit in you, and Bedford clearly have that as well this season to compete. So I think as much as it's exciting seeing how well we as the Championship are competing with the Premiership and in some senses getting results, all this competition is doing for me as well is making me seriously excited for how competitive the Championship is going to be this season when we get into our own league.
Absolutely. And on that, I suppose we have to speak about the new boys too. Cambridge probably would have been dreaming of the Championship this time last season. Now running out at Franklin's Gardens in a competitive fixture, you would have thought that. 0-2, but perhaps getting battle-hardened for that new Championship season we're speaking about.
Yeah, and it's always tough being the side that come up, incredibly so, especially with the unique nature of the semi-pro and the full-time teams in the league. But Cambridge, from what I've seen, and admittedly I haven't seen too much of them, but they don't seem like they're going to be whipping boys by any sense of the imagination. They look competitive, they look pretty tough, and they'll have their own style of rugby that they will know how to play. And this Premiership Cup will probably be the best thing they can have is a good 5 games before the season starts, because as much as you talk about pre-season games getting you ready, they're never quite the same as competitive games. So to have a good 5 games and to find their feet, find their form before the Championship season starts is probably the best thing they could have.
And Hartbury recovered from an opening round defeat at the Stoop against Harlequins, no disgrace of course, but recording an excellent away win at Nottingham, who themselves lost the previous week at Gloucester at Kingsome. Mix of fortunes for both sides, or you think Hartbury would probably be happier of the two?
I think Hartbury would probably be happier of the two. I was very surprised at the Nottingham team selection against Gloucester. It was a fairly young Gloucester side, and Nottingham, I know a few of the boys there as well. Speaking to them, there was a few of the boys I knew who, if I was picking my best Nottingham team, they'd be in it. And they said, oh, they were using the cup to rotate. But I just think you're going away to Kingsholm. I personally would have picked my best team, or what I thought was my best team, but each club does it their own way. So yeah, I'd say Hartbury would be the happier, because Lady Bay on a Friday night is a very, very hard place to go. It doesn't get talked about enough of the tough trips to do. Nottingham always do better at home on a Friday night. So for Hartbury to go there and get a win, that's a brilliant result for them.
And on to your old side, Amdil, the Mob running Newcastle close initially in round one, but the Premiership side obviously eventually pulled clear. Losing narrowly at Coldy, who lost at Leicester, against Leicester at Welford Road, I should say, in round one, in what would have been a great experience for the men from the Wirral, despite the result.
Yeah, I think the first thing we have to say is what a brilliant world it is where we're talking about Amptill playing Newcastle and Coldy playing Leicester. These are very much, over the past 5-10 years, community rugby clubs that have come up through the leagues and are now, through quite rightfully, having the chance to play against these huge teams. I know I'm going on Sunday to watch Amptill against Leicester. Amptill are running out of Welford Road. It's the most ridiculous situation, but it isn't, because they've earned it every step of the way. So the main thing is it's brilliant these teams are getting those opportunities. As you say, Amptill very, very competitive for 55, 60 minutes against Newcastle, and then probably just ran out of steam a little bit, the full-time environment. And it happens in the Champ as well. The full-time teams can be a little better conditioned than the semi-pro. So probably saw there, Coldy went to Welford Road, and it's a tough place to go for anyone, so there's no disgrace in losing there. And then you see the strength of Coldy at home to get a last-minute win against Amptill. We had 2 games up there that were both absolute wars last season, so I know that would have been an extremely physical game, and both sides look like they're probably 5 or 10% better than they were last season from what I've seen so far, which is exciting. If every team keeps getting better in the league, all that's going to happen is the league's going to get better, and that's just great for everyone.
Speaking of teams getting better, I suppose we should have a little word on London Scottish, despite going 0-2 at home. Falling to a very strong Jersey team in round one and ran Doncaster all the way last weekend. There are signs that they will be improved this season, as we've previously discussed on the pod.
Yeah, they will have been disappointed in the first week. I don't think anyone would have expected them to win that game, but they will have been disappointed. Obviously, to be nilled at home is never, ever good. It's hard to put any good spin on that. But then to bounce back against Donny the way they did, and arguably should have beaten a strong Donny team. Now, I know I spoke about the challenges Donny had with logistics getting there. You still have to beat a very, very good side out there. So Scottish absolutely looking like they're continuing the form they had at the back end of the season, which saved them. I don't think we'll be seeing any 100-odd nils like we did when Ealing played them last year. I think, thankfully, those days are gone, and I think Scottish will be a far more competitive side for the entire season rather than just the last 2 or 3 months like they were last year.
We'll look ahead to round three in a moment. I suppose after two rounds, I'd probably ask your thoughts on the competition so far as a whole, you know, results aside. To me, it seems as if despite having a World Cup on, we've had a decent amount of exposure, especially for Jersey and Ealing on TNT Sports, but there's definitely room for more as well, isn't there?
Yeah, I think it's, first of all, I think the competition's been brilliant. I think, as we said, there's two sides to it. There's the experiences it's giving players that they wouldn't have had playing against these sides and at these grounds. There is the experience of opening up the two domestic leagues and having them come together. And there's also the fact that I don't really care for the argument of, oh, this isn't Leicester's strongest team, this isn't Bristol's strongest team, Saracen's strongest team per se. Because no one here is arguing that if you put Saracen's strongest side out against Coventry's strongest side, it would be a competitive game. No one's arguing that. But that's the same with any sport, any league in the world. Like, if you put a top tier, most competitive side out against the second tiers, they're going to win. But what this is showing is, actually, when you take away the international stars, when you scratch the surface of below the starting 15 of Premiership sides, when you go to their 23, to their 30, 35-man squads, actually, is there much of a gulf to the level of play in the Championship? I think we're seeing that there isn't, really. Not at all. And you then look at, and it's a completely different conversation, not one we're going to get into in depth, but you look at the difference in funding of the two leagues and go, is there really a four-ish odd million pound gap in what we're seeing? I think the results of the last few weekends speak for themselves. So I think all it does is it puts meat on the bones of the argument we've been making the Championship for the last few seasons of, this is a brilliant league, give it a chance to grow and give it a chance to compete with the Premiership, because actually there's a lot of good stuff going on down here, both on and off the pitch. And all this is doing is giving us a chance to showcase how good we can be on the pitch.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. I totally agree with that. And of course, beyond that, there's the real possibility of seeing some of the champ sides represented in the semi-finals of this competition. Ealing, Jersey, Coventry, all well-placed, could make it into the latter rounds. I mean, how good would it be to see, you know, maybe even Ealing or Jersey win it with Premiership teams in it?
Yeah, I think to see any Championship side in the semi-finals was probably beyond the wildest dreams of even the most ardent Championship fan 3 weeks ago. But actually, the position the champ teams, Cov, Jersey, Ealing especially, Doncaster also, but haven't had to face any Premiership opposition yet. But these teams have given themselves a shot. Like, going into the last 3 weeks of the group stages, all these teams have got a shot of making it to the semi-finals. And that is probably a better place than a lot of people thought the Championship teams would have been. So I think the champ is doing itself incredibly proud, and it's testament to all the players and all the coaches and all the staff involved with every club.
Right then, on to round three, and Bath hosts London Scottish at the Rec. Jersey and Exeter looks like a big one over on the Rock. Saracens are at home to Nottingham. Hartbury face Coventry. It's Bedford Coley at Goldington Road. Cambridge and New Boys welcome Cornish Pirates. Ealing and Donny looking like a big top of the Championship table clash there at Vallis Way. And Leicester host Amtill. Of course, there are other fixtures, including the All Premiership clashes. But of course, this is the Championship Clubs podcast. That's where we want to focus our attention. So what sticks out there, mate? It's got to be Jersey Exeter, hasn't it?
Yeah, massively, mate. That one is fascinating. I'll be very interested to see what side Exeter pick for that after going as strong as he did against Pirates last week. It's a hard place to go for anyone, Jersey. It's a real tough place to go and play. And you'd be, without knowing the sides, you'd be a brave man to bet against Jersey after seeing what they did to Bath last week, especially at home. So it's going to be fascinating, but that's definitely, definitely game of the round for me.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that, mate. I think everyone's probably slightly disappointed that that's not the featured televised game this week. Obviously, it's Gloucester Harlequins on a Friday night, disappointingly, an all-prem fixture, but that's due to the World Cup. We know that. I think the other one that sticks out for me that's really interesting is Ealing and Donny. I think Donny are top of their pool by a point, obviously not played any prem opposition yet. But yeah, like I say, they've been hotly tipped this season, and it'd be interesting to see how they go at Ealing. If they run them close, or they even pip them, it really does, you know, blow the champ season wide open, because both sides are picking gun sides, aren't they?
Yeah, I think most people are predicting Ealing to be towards the top of the Championship table again. I think if you finish above Ealing, the prediction now is you'll probably win the league like Jersey did last year. They're always in that top two, aren't they, Ealing? So yeah. If Donny can come and really compete even, and if they can get a result, then that really, really sets their stall out for the season. So it'd be a fascinating one. I'm obviously very much got my green and white tinted glasses on for this one. So we'll be predicting and hoping for an Ealing win. There's There's a spoiler for the predictions for the rest of the season. For as long as I'm signed with Ealing, I will be predicting Ealing wins each week. So read into that what you will. But no, that's a massive clash, especially with they've had great games last few seasons. It was the 2 seasons ago that Donny did the double over Ealing, didn't they, as well? So when they were in that title hunt, when we had that mad 3-4-way title decided in the last few weeks. So yeah, it'd be a big old game down here on Saturday.
Top stuff. Thanks, Charlie. Great to have you back on the team permanently. Big thanks to our producer, Ryan, as always. We'll be back to preview the new championship season in a fortnight. In the meantime, though, check us out on the socials. Look out for Team of the Week, and we'll be back soon.
That was the Championship Clubs podcast. Be sure to come back in a fortnight's time and follow us on social media at Champ Clubs Pod on Instagram and Twitter.